Drew and George talk to people sometimes.
Out on the court for a game of 2-on-2. Me and Mike versus James and his boy Big Blue. We headed off to Kevin's house right after school, 'cause he got that new Lifetime basketball hoop. We came ready to play. We came ready to win and bring the trophy home that day. Big Blue said, "You ain't bringing home that W. How you gonna score when I'm standing here in front of you?" I grabbed the ball and I passed it into Mike. Mike caught the pass, fake left and went right.
Hello and welcome. This is Drew and George Talk to People Sometimes. That's George Bezos.
That's Drew Brooks.
That's right. And this is
a falafel
show. Episode 21.
Mm-hmm.
Of the Drew and George Talk to People Sometimes podcast. That's very exciting, man.
For sure, yeah. You keep saying it, and it's long form, but
I know.
We all know it, and it's abbreviated version.
What's its abbreviated?
TGIF. D-D-D-F.
God.
TGIF, D-D-D-F.
Can we just make sure everyone knows not to listen to that?
That's how you search it on iTunes. That's what you subscribe to.
If I really wanted to work hard, I'd just go back and delete all the things that you just said. But I'm not going to.
We can just start over.
No, but this is really, we had an awesome time. We talked to the PR machine.
The PR machine.
Who is a fly on the wall in episode 19, I believe.
Episode 19 with Mike Simpson. Yeah, PR machine was there. He was like our resident dictator that day.
He was the resident dictator, which we have every episode. Show if they show up or not.
PR machine is, you will notice, come on, you're not stupid, you're a listener.
You're a listener, you're an awesome listener.
You'll notice that his voice has been altered. Now,
yes,
that is because he is a known criminal murderer.
Like, let's alter our voices right now. You ready?
Sure.
Go ahead. Not just... Just
I'll do the I'll redo the intro in an anime or in an altered voice. Like, I'm Drew Brooks.
That was you altering your voice. That literally is unidentifiable and
unintelligible. And an illegible and intelligent. PR machine is a wicked visual artist and
go ahead.
Amongst other things.
He's
stuff.
A thinker.
All over the world, this world of ours, and
but this podcast gets into the future, into the possibilities.
We went some really cool places.
Yeah, and you don't have to leave the couch. It's kind of like reading Rainbow.
Yeah, but if you're not sitting on the couch right now, what if they're in their car?
What do you think most of our listeners do, George?
Jerking off at Runyon Canyon.
That's I think that's a good fraction.
That's my first guess.
Second guess, there's 25% of them are jerking off in Runyon Canyon.
And 25% jerking off at Griffith Park.
Okay.
And the other 25% are just jerking off at Beechwood Canyon.
Which seems to be the regular place to beat off.
That's the best time to listen to a podcast. I
absolutely
don't know about you.
Just casually beating off in Beechwood Canyon. Kick us on the radio. Put us on the speakers while you're getting
getting
the job done.
Bluetooth code. Well, this episode's going to really knock your socks off because we get into something I like to think of myself as.
What's that?
Revolutionary human pattern.
I almost called for a paramedic. When I saw your face turn, I almost
sometimes bubbles come out of my mouth.
Yeah, I was worried about you. You need to be defibrillated, bro.
I know, that's fine. Defibrillated. But we did talk about some real alt shit that I really like listening to, and then and learning about. And the last part was about a dude, a historical figure that people have probably never heard his name, but busted his ass, sacrificed lives and freedoms and shit for
truly an interesting thing that I hope people look into, because it's really, if not for anything else, it's a fascinating story.
Yeah.
But there are multiple levels on that, and I just think that it's incredible sort of that it hasn't been, or it hasn't gotten much more of a...
And it's about to, because I just wrote a screenplay about it today.
Just now? Today?
About it today, I wrote a screenplay.
About it?
And it just got optioned
just now
buy.
Your phone lit up. Did it just happen right
deadline
now?
Deadline optioned it.
Deadline optioned it. Well, you just. Sure. Is Deadline a production company?
No.
Yeah, so I think you're in trouble. Because you might want to look at the checks. You might want to study the checks. Yeah.
No, it's an option situation.
It's an option deal situation. Mm-hmm. Okay, great. Well, while you figure out the business end of that.
Okay.
Because you, I'm sure, have your work cut out for you. That
I'll take it.
Okay. He just settled for that stuff. While you're doing that, and you're making these deals in Hollywood, the listeners can enjoy this great talk with the option. Why's James crying? Because he just got dumped down. I ain't even lying. Yo, he just got dumped down. Yep, yep, he was standing in the way. So I jumped up in the air and I ducked it on his face. Why's James crying? Because he just got dumped down. I ain't even lying. Yo, he has an aggressive landscape.
Talk about this. Machines.
You know that
the PR machine. The rise of the machines.
We matched today.
I know. You're a little darker.
Yeah, I'm a little darker.
A little looser.
You're goddamn right I am. I don't know where that goes. Where'd you go to college? PR machine? Does the machine go to college?
Does the machine go to college?
No. They have Where's to, like, program you, right?
We're all being programmed. I listened to a little Alex Jones this morning, a guilty pleasure of mine. Seems to be on the same page all the time, same wavelength, different takes on things.
Sometimes the same takes on things.
Yep.
That guy got to start.
He was talking about South by Southwest this morning.
I bet you he
and the corporate it. Globalists that are.
And he's right.
He is right. Spewing it all out for people to just consume nothing.
Nothing but what they want consumed.
But they're gathering information on putting this all into a little trend. He kept calling the kids trendies.
The trendies
is a pretty great
word. I kind of love that.
Give it up to Luca. I bumped into Luca, and he said he called famous people famies.
Famies, trendies. They're all
trendies and famies.
I got to see it firsthand, and I lived in Austin for 6 years as a bartender. And
Cylon.
The PR machine has arrived.
PR machine engaged. But I remember every year the swarm for 2.5 weeks or whatever. The swarm would come in, and we would just take their fucking money and get them all drunk and laugh at them, and then send them back off to
us. New dreams and promises.
Yeah.
Of new jobs and cool future jobs that they're all gonna have.
Exactly.
This year went
all in the form of a party. Life's gonna continue as a big. It's party for
it's
everyone.
Consumption. Party. It's just consumption. It's just like taking the alcohol for free because it's an open bar. Eat as much as you want. Spend as much as you can. And take in all of this ridiculous shit. But this year, I went back as a spectator and, it was fun. But
it was a spectacle.
Yes.
It's also your visiting, right? You don't have to live there and live through it.
But I saw my friends who still live there, and they had that same look of just like, all right, let's just fucking get through it. Like, let's get this over with.
Putting everyone and following their little trends.
Yeah.
People are easier to control when they're in groups.
It's the easiest way to. The art that everyone is there to celebrate has been collected.
Oh, yeah.
And
it's all part of selling the big advertisement.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Fantastic. So I aimed to become with my art.
What's that?
As powerful as advertising agencies.
That is a...
But I don't want to sell anything other than... That's the hard part.
Yeah.
You know.
I wonder what that kind
working
of
to destroy yourself.
Yeah, it seems just like you're eating yourself. Yeah.
It's fun, though.
It was fun. It is fun. It's always fun. Destroying yourself is fun.
Destroying yourself
Kids
is fun.
Kids, say it with us at home. Destroy yourself is fun.
Yeah, you did.
I dropped out of college.
I did too. Over and over.
Me three.
With art school.
Three of us boys.
Oh, fuck. Did you finish art school?
Virginia Commonwealth University.
Finished?
Nope. Dropped out.
Yep.
About 8 weeks into the second year, sophomore year.
That's far.
You good?
Before computers, typography, and.
Yeah.
Hard labor
of
putting in time for your craft. I didn't want any part of it. So, dropped out. found a girlfriend instead.
Ooh, and
that's pretty cool. What did you...
That'll take
be on campus,
time.
I could go to her dorm instead of classes. And
yeah.
Then my parents found out and...
They killed her.
The end of it. And then I, you know, had to go to live on my own and find jobs and all
what
that.
Was your... One of your first jobs? Did you ever do like manual labor shit?
Oh yeah, all kinds of stuff. McDonald's was my first job.
No,
I was a cook. I cooked green polyester pants.
Sweaty balls and hot fries.
Yeah. Lots of practical jokes and hilarity. So I'm like, I can't talk about any of that.
No, no, no.
That'll get me in a lot of trouble.
Yeah, I'm sure.
I've told too many people.
No, don't share the specifics.
Yeah.
We'll just say pubes over
attempted it. Murder. All in fun. All of the good fun.
What was your favorite?
I was a security guard for Pinkertons.
What?
For about 2 weeks.
Yeah, it's like a...
That was lame. Rent-a-cop. Rent-a-cop. I was a rent-a-cop in like a scary downtown Richmond convention center that was being built. Just me. Nothing. I was a radio. Just as I looked like a mailman. Oh, in my car. In this big, you know, thing that was being built in the shitty part of
it. Graveyards and stuff like
that? Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Man.
So I fell asleep on a job. Got fired.
Never
worked. I got that job the day I got fired for sleeping on the job when I worked at a quarry.
Oh,
Luckstone Quarry, yeah.
Whoa.
Big out in Rockville, I think it was.
Oh, no,
it was no, Virginia.
Okay.
Maybe it's Rockville. Probably Flintstones. I don't know. I was driving a water truck to let down all the roads and gravel that was being hauled by the gigantic tractors. Tires that were 10 feet tall. I mean, there were those giant monster truck tires on these giant things hauling different size gravel around, and it was my job to drive this. I don't know how fucking big it was. It was just a big water square truck.
Huge square
that I would fill up with water and then spray all over the. I would have to drive around the entire plant and down into the pit with water so the dust wouldn't bother everybody from all that driving on the gravel.
Yeah.
And I would have to park on the hill to fill it up under this gigantic, like 16 inch faucet.
Yeah.
That I would, you know, it was like a big filling station of like a big, this giant thing that I would turn it on. If I didn't park directly in the right spot under it, the water, the gush of water that would flow out of this thing would hit the top and soak everything.
Jesus.
I did that a number of times.
Why'd you get fired?
I fell asleep. And I got stuck. I got stuck.
In the truck?
Trying to find a place to fall asleep. into the forbidden zone, I guess, into some mud. I got hauled out by one of those cool dump trucks there. Those giant loaders. Yeah, it wasn't a dump truck, but it was one of those giant freaking loaders that
monster truck.
Put the chain up and
That's pretty incredible.
It was cool. They all laughed at me.
Did you seem to find always like in each of those jobs one or two people that were kind of in the same position or kind of cool?
Like, oh yeah, I'd find them always if they were.
There were one.
And that was always why I remember in Florida I had a job. What was I doing? I was doing steel work, like for concrete on Albertsons that we were building. I had to like tie steel together and then build frames for on the ground, like these big 20 by 40 or 60 foot slabs that then they would pour concrete into, and then these cranes would come and pop them up. And it was called tilt wall, I think. So you pour the thing flat on the ground, the wall, and they lift it up and then set the fucker into place rather than building it up as you go like this. Just these big slabs that they would play with. And my boss immediately was like, all right, don't hang out with Todd, don't hang out with Boston, don't hang out with these. Because they thought I had, you know, clean cut looking guy. And the boss was an ex Navy reserve that just, we clashed so hard.
Right, but.
And I immediately made a beeline to them, started, you know, getting in trouble. Everybody was hilarious. They fucked with me so hard. I'm from Richmond, the capital of the Confederacy. And I was born in Michigan, Detroit. My father's from Detroit. I was born in Grand Rapids. But raised in the the capital of the Confederacy, and I was a Yankee compared to
anybody.
They're like, anybody north of Ocala is a Yankee boy. And they fucked with me so hard, and I just took it in stride and laughed and played into it, and they thought it was hilarious. Yeah. The shit they would do, all the welders would deliberately start working right above me when I was walking around, shit just raining on me. Everybody fucked with me, and I got, it was just, you know, again, took it in stride, so it just became this funny thing, and then,
they could see you now, man. You got the Robert E. Lee goatee going on.
Yep. You do look a little Southern.
You won the Battle of the South.
That's right.
What about the PR machine?
What was going on then? Like punk rock and shit? Or just rock?
No, that's when all the grunge was happening.
Oh, wow.
It was a good time, actually. I had a good time with the music scene.
Yeah.
Timed it out just right.
Virginia had a scene, right?
Yeah. War, most famously. From Richmond, Virginia, or VCU, particularly art schools, the sculpture department, all those freaks. I know a lot of guys that all worked at the slave pit.
Oh, it's
there's just a place, Slave Pit is where all the guys made the costumes and the masks and all the penises and giant
what a great
awesome
show.
Weapons that they would put on.
Do you know anything about Guar, George?
Yeah, I know they were all Harvard grads.
Well, they're smart,
they were
smart art school freaks that, and it just worked. Yeah, and what else was in?
But like for anybody that doesn't know, it's this incredible band that came out that would go on stage with these elaborate costumes,
cartoonish monster,
everything blown way out of proportion, but like in a grotesque way. Sometimes they'd have balls and sacks and like nets attached to them,
shoot blood and semen out into the audience.
Yeah, it was like a psychedelic kiss.
I haven't heard of any grotesque stuff yet.
No, they would fucking jizz into the crowd with fake penises. It was crazy.
It was all for the spectacle.
Yeah. So what other groups were coming out of that area at the time?
Oh, I don't know. A band, House of Freaks, came out of there.
Cool.
Music. Oh, I know. We just talked about Puddles. I don't want to give, well... Everybody knows it's Big Mike. Puddles Pity Party. Puddles the Clown. The giant clown with the golden voice. You need to look him up.
Yeah.
He's become quite a hit or whatever. And I used to go see Big Mike when he was part of, he sang for the Useless Playboys. In Virginia, and they were a fun, like, rockabilly swing band.
Very cool.
And there was other cool bands like Dirtball, Gutterball.
Gutter Dirt.
The dude from Sparkle Horse, what's his name? Mark. What's his name? He committed suicide. Sparkle Horse. He was like the original singer-songwriter weirdo dude.
Yeah.
Beautiful music. What's his name? He was part of all those weird collective bands.
Did you go to a lot of shows out there?
Not too many.
Not too many.
Just go see, you know. I didn't do a lot of anything. I was always broke. I would drink at home.
Yeah.
My Fishbone was one of my... I remember seeing Fishbone a couple times in Richmond. And that's the... I didn't see him when they... I wasn't at the show that...
some shit.
Yeah, he got in trouble for doing something, somebody on stage. I wasn't at that, so I don't think you can bring up Richmond around any member of Fishbone. They're not going to smile.
Pharrell. Right? Pharrell's from Rich.
Is he?
Yeah.
No, he's not.
I think he is. I think the Neptunes and the Clips are from Richmond. The Clips, for sure, from Richmond, Virginia. Yeah. Isn't that crazy? Yeah.
Dave Matthews Band.
Oh, they used to always play. I hated Dave Matthews. They were the house band, or not the house band, but they played every Wednesday night at the Flood Zone, where I had this friend, Amy, dropping all these names. What's any last name? That's right, it doesn't matter.
It's an ice cream store in Texas.
Yeah. Amy's. You know, Amy worked at the Flood Zone and just gave us so much free booze and whatever we wanted, so you just go listen for it. Yeah, but I would not ever go see Dave Matthews.
You'd never go on Wednesdays.
Never go see, but you know, I remember seeing Dred Zeppelin.
Oh, yeah.
Flood Zone, that was fucking great. I think fishbone again there, yeah. Perhaps.
How big was the flood?
It was had a, like it was small. It was big enough, but it had a couple, you know, tiers.
Yeah.
So it was a lot of crazy shit going on there. Led Zeppelin's a fun band. I was thinking about them the other day. You know, I just talked to a friend of mine here from who's from Pasadena, and those guys from Led Zeppelin are from Pasadena. He says they're all, they knew nothing about reggae. They were all Led Zeppelin
fans, and then
fans just, and geniuses, you know, could play the shit out of Led Zeppelin. That's what sounds so good. And then it just kind of clicked. They were fucking around and it clicked that they could do that Elvis impersonator doing the reggae Led Zeppelin.
Yeah, the skanky guitar and
crazy.
It was fun. But I guess some of what I listened to was all the grunge shit, Nirvana, Soundgarden, Pearl Jam.
That's what was happening.
Skinny Puppy, all that crap.
Skinny Puppy. Wow, yeah.
What was going on art-wise? Were you making art already?
Yeah. A little bit. Just trying to work. Mostly stupid jobs. I didn't start making art until right at the end before I left Richmond. Then I realized that I couldn't make art in Richmond. I had to get out. And then via Minneapolis for a winter.
You spent winter in Minneapolis? Yeah, Minneapolis? What was that like? Because I don't know. I've never
been. Oh, so cold.
So cold, huh?
So cold.
Jesus. I've never been.
Cool city, but just too cold. Go outside and freeze. Nose hairs, eye hairs.
Everything freezes, yeah. George, you been to Minneapolis?
No, there's like a big Austin connection between.
Prince is from Minneapolis, I guess. That was cool.
Yeah.
Go into his store. That's about it. Yeah. I couldn't buy alcohol on like Sundays. It was weird. I learned to drink a lot in Minneapolis, I guess. This girl that I lived with, she worked at this ad agency, and one of their clients was. What the fuck was it? I ended up doing something for her later. It was that cinnamon, like, liqueur shit.
Fireball.
It had a name. You would make, like, those stupid shooter drinks with this stuff. It was sweet. It was cinnamony.
Apple, hot apple or some shit.
Yeah, well, there was that, too. So there was...
Yeah, I think I know.
Anyway, she'd have...
Rumpel.
She would go off to work. I would stay back at her apartment and promise not to smoke cigarettes. And just start fucking drinking. Oh, the thing with the bottle was it made this weird, in the bottle it made it crystallized. So it was all about this, I don't know, anyway.
Goldschlager?
That was there too. It was one of those brands.
Yeah.
All this sweet shit as well as the other liquor and vodka. And I would just drink at home, and then I'd add water. Yeah, the thing that used to crystallize finally stopped crystallizing because the liquor was just full of the water.
50-50 water.
And the food coloring. She didn't fucking really notice, but I would just drink all the time. And then some other dude that had a girlfriend at the same agency, and this guy had money, and he was from Boston, and he had a car. He would always take me to the track. He had weed. He had like a pound of weed that he had no one to smoke with.
Jesus. But
me. And he would always go to the dog track, like at the border of Wisconsin, Minnesota. That was hilarious. And I would just make an ass of myself, rooting at the old the replays.
Yeah.
I'd just go bananas, like I would think it was real, like in real time. And everybody was like, who the fuck is this? Idiot, there's face just 5 minutes ago, and this guy is just, you know, that I'm there with, was just dying laughing. Audience of one.
Yeah, those are the best.
And acting all mad and shit. Yeah.
Ripping up the ticket.
Your beer. Unbelievable, he lost again. That's crazy. Where?
I'm going to move to Los Angeles.
From Minneapolis?
To work on a kid show.
Really?
Yep, doing a. Props and painting and stuff with a guy that I had met in Richmond doing the same stuff. Called Brickface and Stucco. An old MTV interstitial that was a live action cartoon from 1992.
No shit.
That's when I realized that you could do art and have a job kind of thing.
Yeah.
And I was kind of dumb and just being stupid the whole time through art wise up until then.
Yeah.
And, you know, dropped out of art school.
I'm looking for it right now.
And then met up with these guys, still a waiter. I was waiting tables. He's like,
no kidding.
Be my friends. And that was the best ever. Just painting. Everything was done in black and white and grayscale.
Uh-huh.
And then they shot, they filmed it.
Black and white.
In black and white, too. So it looks like an old, like, 1940s yeah. weird. It's this live. They had rubber wigs. It's, look it up, Brickface and Stucco.
That's what I just did. And it's fucking crazy.
It's awesome. They won some, you know, MTV awards and shit for their funny shit.
Oh, should I get it?
The Mocha. Somebody else get it.
Mocha. Double pump.
How crazy.
That's incredible.
So everything was in grayscale. I had these buckets of, you know, 5 gallon buckets of paint, each with a different tone of gray.
Yeah.
And with paint props that these guys would be making for these big cartoony gags. It was awesome. Like
foam mm-hmm. shit.
And they did,
This is essentially kind of a Pee-wee's Playhouse.
Yeah, these guys used to work for Pee-wee's Playhouse. Oh, really? The one guy I worked for was Conky the Robot.
No way!
He was working in New York for the company, I think Broadcast Arts, that was like subbed out to do that kind of shit for whoever the production company, I guess they were the production company for whatever, for Pee-wee's Playhouse. And Greg built Conky, and they never gave him any specifications, so when he turned it in, it only fit him, so he got to be Conky for the first 2 years of Pee-wee's Playhouse.
What? That's perfect.
Yeah.
It only works with my keys.
And my friend David worked for, and I just saw something David posted today on Instagram. Pretty good. I'll have to look him up and give him a plug.
I saw a pug.
He did the toys.
Yeah.
He did the shelf of the animated toy, weird stuff. Here.
So. Give me that.
So I met these dudes and, you know, liked it. Again, kind of, then there was no word. Oh, they introduced me to this woman, Janet Scagnelli, who was great, who had just moved to Richmond, and she had an animation cell painting company that she moved from Chelsea, New York, that had been very successful.
To here?
She moved to Richmond to marry her husband, who was a lawyer there. She liked the city, moved her company there, and they hooked me up. And then again, I'm kind of in that world now of, oh, here's where all like the fun, interesting stuff. People. Oh, this is where all the art weirdos are.
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
So she gave me a job painting animation cells. I ended up making, by the end, $13 an hour, which was better than any freaking construction job I had sweating. But
here.
One of the first things, I've never done any manual labor out in Los Angeles. This is all back in Richmond still.
Yeah, back in Richmond.
I'll never do any more manual labor ever again.
Till tomorrow morning.
Yeah. So painting animation cells. She would do a lot of color models for different cartoons. One of them was that show cartoon on Nickelodeon was just coming of age now, so it was that color model for Doug, which I fucking hated. Hated. She had to do color models for every episode, every new character, every new thing came to us. She'd come up with a color scheme for it. We would paint the backs of these cells, send them back up, and they would approve of them or whatnot. And the skin color, it was all about being fair and equal.
Right.
And the bad kid was Roger, had this green face, and it was just fucking horrible. I hated it. And so gentle and soft serve, vanilla ice cream.
Yeah, but for kids, I mean.
Yeah, yeah. It sucked. The cool thing was the Ren and Stimpy commercial came in, and we were like, what the fuck is this? It's crazy. What?
Amazing.
And it was the very first. Chris Faluski has thing for them, and we were doing the 10-second teaser of Stimpy comes running in the bathtub and jumps, and Ren's in the bathtub, and Stimpy comes in and farts or something.
Yeah.
and we would have to, I had to paint the, like, the splashy water, but it was just seeing that, those drawings were like, whoa, wait, and then, you know, you're 6 months later, you see it, everything. And then Ren and Stimpy's the funniest fucking thing ever.
Okay, no, you know? I was blown away by
I was
that.
Too, man. Yeah. It's those super close cuts.
Great. Like, yeah. It was great. Chris Felice was so good.
They're scanning.
With the hair, like, always, little hair pieces.
Always eager to, like,
and gross. Yeah, yeah, totally gross. Yeah.
So that was cool. That was great. But then at the same time, so that kept me employed. It was just like a freelance paycheck to paycheck, but little, like, you know, allowed to, like, drink more, I guess.
Yeah.
Extra spending money. But still, job to job, and yeah. That started, and we would do random little commercials and animated films for her friends.
That's pretty cool.
But the, everything then started to go digital ink and paint, so nobody, and everybody was painting in Korea. Everybody, right. They'd send, like, the Simpsons to paint all the cells in Korea, but then... Then, I remember they were doing that anyway, with Scooby-Doo shit and all that stupid bad animation.
Hanna-Barbera.
But it all went digital ink and paint, so now it's all colored in a computer. There's barely anybody does ink and paint. But she gave me all of the... She was going to go out of business, and she also did cell restoration.
Oh, that's cool.
Which was doing, like... And she'd get these gorgeous old, like, Snow White... animation cells, originals and death, you know, all this great original... cell work that had cracked, some of the cell paint had cracked, and she would restore it and match. You just matched, she was good at colors, and she could match the colors. You know, these racks of all this cool vinyl acrylic paint, you know, from every color that you had in the rainbow, that had it was broken down into the shade of that.
And that was so a code was, or whatever, right?
Yeah, yeah, and everything had like an R14, so everybody knew you'd go look and you'd mix it, and you knew how to mix what and all this shit, or she would mix it a lot of the times.
God, that's for such you. Amazing.
So there's tons of fucking paint.
Yeah.
And then she decides, you know what, we're going to adopt a kid, and I'm over this. I'm going out of business. Sorry, I can't employ you anymore, but you want all this paint? So I was like, yeah, why not? So that's when I started painting.
Yeah.
And that was 93, I guess, 94. Started painting a bunch of shit just because I had all this free paint.
I'd use it.
And then I became like an artist again, and then I started putting in the practice of like making shit.
Yeah.
Before then, I didn't tell people I was an artist. I'm just some fucking...
Quarry worker.
Yeah, loser. Quarry worker. Pinkerton cop. Some rent-a-cop. Some what other bad job. I had a lot of shitty jobs.
Did you do animation in your back, like in your way?
I always wanted to. I always loved it and wanted to do animation. I think I moved to Florida. That's why I ended up in Florida, in Oviedo, like a shithole of
Vito.
Central Florida, right outside of Disneyland.
Wow.
Disney World. So it's right outside of Orlando, and just the shittiest near Sanford, I think, is one of the neighborhoods.
Is that like where it's just Southern Florida?
Yeah. No, Central Florida.
Oh, okay.
Never saw the beach. Wow. Spring break. Didn't know. It was horrible. Horrible, scary situation.
But what did you go to Florida for? Just
animation. Thinking all of a sudden, kept working for Disney.
Yeah.
Somehow, you know, I go down there with, I didn't even have a portfolio. I had nothing. I was like, you know, a sketchbook and weird, you know, shit that I used to draw and doodle.
Uh-huh.
Which kept me, you know, I was doing something, but not really art, any art.
Yeah. When did...
So I started painting shit.
And so you got all this paint, you started painting stuff. Did you just start working from there and then never look back, kind of? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's very cool.
And then, you know, when I'd sell shit, then people, then it was like, oh, this is not, you know, put me in further in between having to find shitty jobs. But when I moved to L.A., my friend Greg kept me afloat through it all, just from... little job to little job of weird shit would come in of other, because he was producing shit for other
little stuff, you know, all over the place.
Yeah, little animated weird things.
How do you motivate yourself now to do shit, to work on stuff? Do you start something and then like have a drive naturally that to finish it?
Yeah, I wouldn't start something without, usually I think of projects to start and finish. When I used to paint, it would all be freeform. I'd just dive into it and see what would happen.
Yeah.
You know, entertain myself with whatever, the process, and see what that was. Now it's all about process, and I hate it.
Yeah.
It's all about, if everything I do, I end up with this monotonous shit work that
grind work.
It needs that has to be done. Cutting a lot of collage work of cutting. I have to cut up everything before I can put it in place.
Your influence, though,
all that bubble gum work. I have to chew all the gum.
That's the thing. You have these.
Put it in place.
It's incredible. You seem to be influenced a lot by it. Like, where's the inspiration come from? Does it hit you or something like that? Because there seems to be a lot of like consumer influence.
Usually, it's just some stupid pun. Like a jingle in my head. Some confusion of. I thought that right before you guys came, I was upstairs registering the domain name. I've wrote a few things down. Yeah, I thought I would be way more combative than this.
We'll see. Don't forget these.
That's just maybe the. So I was registering the domain name Wish Drones upstairs because, like I said, in my inspiration comes from puns or just wordplay and mishearing things. Uh-huh. One of them famously was Thunder Pants or something. And it was Sunday Pants that was the lyric, I don't know, like an Allman Brothers song. I don't know. I have a whole. So the latest one was this whole thing, Wish Drone, popped in my head in a new Marilyn Manson song where he's clearly singing about witch drums. Once I read it, it was like, oh, duh, of course. And it makes perfect sense, the banging of the witch drums. But the first time I heard it, I thought he said wish drones. Made no sense. But then I'm fascinated on the whole concept of these.
Drones.
Delivery drones and delivering wishes and everything. So,
that's great.
I was registering the domain Wish Drones upstairs. So, you know, the day will come when you start delivering wishes and birthday presents.
I love it.
Then I'll get bigger and be delivering Christmas presents.
Oh my gosh, we're witnessing the birth.
That will soon be, in the future, will be, I'll sell it to DARPA and we'll be Termination Protocol drones.
Yeah. Take them out.
We'll know everything.
Euthanasia drones.
Come down and.
You're done.
You're done. You've been selected for termination.
Congratulations. You have been selected for termination.
Drones, I saw a great video of a drone going out or breaking. So it had a camera and you saw it lift up off the ground. Have you seen this? Mm-hmm. It lifts off the ground and goes into the stratosphere. And it has like this HD camera. It's beautiful 1080, you know, and you just see it all of a sudden lose power and drop to the ground. And so you just see this quick HD footage and then the thud and then the signal gone. And it's like crazy. And it reminded me of this one video where a bird steals a camera. Do you remember this?
It was saw the hedgehog or the little chipmunk that jumped on back of the woodpecker last week. The internet went crazy. Internet went nuts. Yeah. You didn't read about it?
An animal jumped on the back of a flying bird. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The woodpecker took off with a little rodent on its back, and some photographer just happened to be there and caught it off. It was awesome.
It's incredible.
Life, the little things.
Which we're now taking our next caller.
That's right.
Thanks for calling.
Alex Jones.
Alex from InfoWars.
Hello. This is Wish Drones.
InfoWars.com. What do you got for us, Alex?
Here's a planet. Look, my mic just went out.
See, it's all part of the drones.
Part of the.
I think that guy got his start on Austin Public.
Yeah, he's from Austin.
Austin Public Access.
Pretty sure. Like,
who?
Alex Jones.
I don't know. Wait.
Infowars.com?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. He got a start on public television?
He's always yelling about the globalists.
Yep.
It's all true. Stop. My God. My clip there.
Yeah, outspoken. What is that guy? Republican?
He's more of a libertarian, I guess. He's a revolutionary. That's what he is. He's not a revolution.
Yeah.
He identified the enemy over and has been predicting their every move for 25 years. He's been on the air for 20.
And they always prove him right.
What did he say this morning? I was texting it to a friend of mine. What did he say?
Rush Limbaugh is my girlfriend.
He just doesn't know it yet.
Crack dealers, Trendies, McDonald's.
Trendies.
Crack dealers, Trendies, and McDonald's.
Trendies.
I gotta say the word trendy fits perfectly. It's just weird to see so many.
He was trying to defend people with beards. Or he was all upset about beard and the people with beards. I mean, I have a beard.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna say I'm older. Beard. Yeah. What I like them. They look cool.
Yeah.
Whatever. The trend of it all is insane.
It is, yeah. We were just talking about this.
And Alex Jones was going off on it. And it's just he said something that at one point he was something, and then he goes, hey, dude, I can break people's necks. He says he feels that he's being judged by these new trendies that have the beards, looking at his baby face, thinking, you know, but hey, something, and he's thinking, hey, I can break your
neck. And he's a super intense guy. You can find a multitude of clips.
Always amped up on globalist agenda, trilateral commission.
Trilateral commission.
It all makes sense.
Illuminati shit.
So we're all being, slowly cooked like frogs.
Yeah.
That's what it is. If they were to throw us into boiling water, we'd react and we'd shriek, but they do it over a period of time.
Yeah. They're slightly steaming, everyone.
Yep. Slowly turning to steam. Starting to get hotter, you've noticed.
In case you haven't noticed.
And it doesn't need to be hospitable for...
More guns mean less
life
crime.
Anymore.
More guns one means less crime? Is that one of his quotes?
Mm-hmm.
Hell yeah. Jesus. More grimes means less dimes.
Wow.
Yeah. There are moments, though, where that guy will say something that's...
Totally grounded.
Totally on point, because it's his purely anti-government shit, I understand. His sort of societal views a lot of the times are too conservative for me. I feel like people all inherently have the ability and understanding of what's good, what's right. We do.
You think from the moment we're...
From before we're... A moment,
before we're,
from
yeah.
When you're in a belly... You understand.
Yeah, but we're all then dumbed down to start back over as a caveman's mentality.
Right.
Thinking with a 2,000-year-old story of how we fucking came to be.
Yeah.
It's retarded.
Sure.
Think of a science book.
Yeah, and that's just religion.
So they deliberately dumb us down.
Yeah.
It's not just religion. It's everything.
But that's just what
taught
one approach is religion.
You know, why not? How come I can't start out with a 17, unless you're fucking... have a brain, right? Yeah, I don't know when that happens, when you're like in your late teens, when you can finally start to question what the fucking lies they're telling us on the history, and it just doesn't really add up, and you see how one-sided it is.
Yeah.
Then you realize that until then, you can't do that. So if we're supposedly born with the foreknowledge of what everybody that's come before us, we should start out at least with a 17-year-old's fucking viewpoint of the world.
Right.
Basically. Yeah, to dominate immediately fucking we're taught in our culture and society to start fucking back over again that there's a hell. Not necessarily, not everyone is taught that. I was raised Catholic.
Yeah.
Heaven and hell. You know, you go through that stupid lesson, and obviously as a child you think hell in the most
scary
they think
as fuck.
Scary as fuck, but it's at the center of the earth kind of thing. It's below you and heaven's above you kind of mentality.
And
it's this stupid fucking, any amateur geologist could tell you that it's fucking ridiculous.
It's ridiculous.
So it's, non-existent bullshit. So it's like, that's how religion dumbs you down, by starting you over. But everyone in general that believes that our inner laws come from...
Puritanical beliefs, for sure.
It's retarded, but from Moses and that kind of bullshit. That's the way they thought. And they're confused and scared and mystified by the world. And there's a place for myth, for our people to understand their place and to question. That's how they can feel comfortable in a world that has that's a fucking abyss of nothing.
Yeah.
So they make up a story to feel comfortable with. And that's the fucking story they feel comfortable with.
Yeah.
It's this fucking God thing. With its laws somehow, and not everybody did, but the fucking ones that ended up with control had that mentality. Everybody else had a lot of other fucking more in tune with the earth way of, and had been. They evolved.
Yeah.
And then again, why can't we keep evolving to keep dumbing us down and beating us back?
Yeah. That's,
you know, computers and
distractions.
Or, you know, that's helping us to speed right along now, but it's,
yeah,
a lot of people, but I'm afraid that nothing is going to stick. Maybe it doesn't need to stick. Again, we're just being... We don't have to... This planet is going to be inhospitable for human life or for any life. But it won't matter because we'll be, a copy of our life will be implanted. You know, that's what artificial intelligence is. That's why the race... For that, it's too late. It's going to...
Yeah, it's already...
Or is it, we'll be, I'm always wondering if it's at the familiar area. Yeah. Because where is life on this planet, nothing, was it just an experiment by a higher organized system, a super intelligent system?
Right.
Don't know what that is.
Right.
Not a god, but right, this organized intelligent system that wants to replicate has done an experiment or done something, allowed conditions to happen on this planet. That would hold, I would lose track now when I start thinking about it.
But it's...
to evolve into a life form. Right. There's nothing, we started from amino acids and the chemical and biological reactions, and it's nothing but that mixed with, they would then eventually gain consciousness with the other form of intelligence and environment and electromagnet, whatever the fuck is happening in the universe. Can tap into that, continue to evolve, gain consciousness, stampede continuously towards becoming an artificial life form, which I'm wondering if then we've been programmed somehow to then, like a child upon becoming that perfect artificial entity, we'll realize and recognize our mother and be like, ah, we're home again. Once we plug into all is what is the universe and electro or whatever it is,
that's true.
Once we reach that point, is it like a reset button? Is life just a series? Is there no God? There's just copies.
Oh,
copy after copy after copy after copy. That becomes life, that becomes, that becomes electric, that becomes energy or part of it's conscious, but then again becomes something that's an artificial form of that.
So is it going to be less organic? It's just
going to
be
totally less organic.
Yeah. See, technology is talking.
It's going to happen faster than we think.
Yeah, you think because, we're going to turn around and just have new devices?
Because technology is happening, it happens exponentially.
So what is it going to be,
though? Every new device opens up thousands and hundreds of thousands of new opportunity, and it will be something that I'm guessing is going to be with this new Apple Watch, because it makes no fucking sense why they're trying to sell a stupid tiny screen when they're just trying to get everybody's back to a phone that's got a big screen to watch it. Why does everybody have this new watch? It's not going to reprogram people because you can't text on it. Can't do anything.
You can text on it, though.
You can't text.
But you have to voice command the texts.
I'm thinking.
You're not down with that. Oh,
I don't think that's the big one.
I'm interested.
I think, along with these other rise and these other little wearable devices.
Totally, yeah, like the life band and stuff like that.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
There's going to be something new that's going to, people are going to just be so addicted to monitoring about themselves that this device somehow is going to open up. Maybe it's every screen that they come across. It's going to be an interface. And now this is their hard drive that's now connected to. So it's a portable sort of, rather, because now everything's in the cloud.
Yes.
So I'm thinking that somehow movement will now act, because we're used to swiping and shit now. More doors might open. But there's got to be something, because it makes no sense that they're selling this stupid fucking wearable watch device. It's so Dick Tracy and in the fucking past.
At first, it seemed to me like that's just a niche, like exclusive sort of consumer market, where it's just like, okay, if you afford the iPhone, that's cute, everybody has one. But now you can afford the iPhone and the iPhone.
It looks the same as everybody else's.
But that's the thing, is like, there's like a $5,000 version of it. And to me, it's like, okay, my first instinct.
That's the consumer, that's tapping into the people that need to buy shit. That's the luxury market part of.
But then there's another end of it where you're like, oh no, this is like, there are conveniences on this thing, and there will prove to be more in the future.
That's what I'm thinking.
That are literally like, great, my watch will take care of that. Hey, put this appointment in. Literally monitoring your life so that you can, like, hey, just shout directions at me. And it's got Bluetooth technology, I imagine. So, like, I'm saying what you're saying is there's a flip side to it that's terrifying where you're like,
yeah, and that would be the thing that they might possibly know what that might be or what could lead to that they're hoping.
Yeah.
So it's going to be, yeah.
And that's not paranoid. That is totally
real. Yeah. And we're going to realize our own science fiction.
Yes. Because it might match perfectly with the screen. And I've already, like, one of the friends, my friend's father's was working on bendable screen technology that goes, that can be like paper. And so that they poured so much, there's so much money into this. So this guy was never at home. He was always in China and they're working on it. And now they have it, right? So they say that they can paint it on windscreens, so your windscreen will be a fully functioning.
You can do the same thing with solar cell technology.
Yeah,
bendable. It's like, you know, you can make trees.
Flexibility is the future, right? It's not.
You can make fake trees that where every leaf is a solar panel. Yeah. You know,
that's pretty awesome.
They could rotate. I call that little idea relief.
That's pretty awesome to me.
Let's
kickstart it.
I got another one. That's a pretty awesome idea to have a tree that's all solar leaves.
Because, again, if it's an inhospitable climate with a drought, we're still going to want green. And I know we need shade.
Yeah.
And the other idea, like that business of those big shades in the backyard, those tent things, I think there's money in that.
Oh, yeah.
And I hate thinking of capitalism.
As a solar panel, even,
yes.
I'm fascinated by solar technology and why it hasn't been progressive.
Yeah, well, you know why.
Yeah, yes. Well, we all know why. But, like, it's such a crazy... Seeing cars, this is a crazy thing for me. So I saw a car recently with the roof was solar panels. And I was like, why isn't that all the cars, man? Like, so that you're... Especially in Southern California.
At least regionally. Good Lord. What happened in New Mexico, Arizona, Texas, Southwest... Make it so that every car's got just
a... Do you realize that your car, right? Your car with a solar panel makes so much more sense because you're recharging
it. Instead of doing it all over the entire fucking roof, trunk, and everything on the car, on the very back fin, it's about that big, which is about 14 inches by 6. And it's just...
You were just making the shape of a pentagram.
No.
Yeah,
I saw that.
No.
Let's say, wait a minute, what's this all about?
It just assists, like, the stereo. That's it.
But it's still something, and it's like, I can, like, what you were saying...
The dust.
My question is, are we going to be on this planet? That's what I always want to
know. I agree with that. We'll be on here, but it'll be artificial.
It'll be artificial. It'll be a copy of. That's why we're taking so many. Think of all the pictures and shit. We're just.
Yep.
It's like fake memories we're storing for. It'll be accessible all in an instant for these super machines. They can just recall and they'll think they have real head memories.
With all been the there.
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus.
We're an all-knowing. We're creating a godhead.
I'd like to,
You know.
I'd like to title this podcast Apocalypse. This is the Apocalypse cast.
We'll switch gears. Sports, my dude.
Ah, you always do.
Sports is my fucking gear.
That's your go-to segue.
Well, I also know the machine is
a sports fan.
Sports fan.
Yeah.
I like my Los Angeles Kings.
Great sports. 4 or 5.
Oh, that's a good question. That's always a good question.
No, hockey's my new favorite. Yeah. Because
that replaced number one.
It replaced football.
Okay.
Over a slow... I mean, that's been happening over the last probably...
What's taken you away from football?
Hockey. And it's just boring and I hate...
Yeah.
It's the fucking parody. The hypocrisy. I hate the NFL commissioner.
Yeah.
I hate the NFL itself. That it's a tax... Free.
That's a wrap. You
know, it's just joke. The whole thing is.
Where's baseball?
Yeah, I love baseball.
NBA or no?
Pipe smoking number 3. And, I don't like basketball anymore.
How come?
And boring.
Gone
yeah. Why is James crying? cause he just got dunked on. Have you ever seen that video? One of the funniest fucking viral things. Look it up. Right. Just go.
Let's just
you play. Find YouTube and go, why is James crying? Yeah. These rednecks made a hilarious rap song and video about
getting dunked on.
Maybe I want that to be my intro. I think, forget the Rage Against the Machine. That's.
James is mad. I can see it in his eyes. James never gets dunked on, and James don't ever cry. He stood up, beat his fist on his chest. Looked at me and Mike and ran his thumb across his neck. He grabbed the ball, squared up to the hoop, took a hard right step, and then he slipped in dog poop. Me and Mike started laughing, and he deserved it too. For the rest of the day, we called him Captain Poopy Shoe. Then the ball bounced right over to me. Big Blue was so big, I could barely even see. I took the ball, and I threw it in the air. Although I couldn't see a thing, I had a feeling Mike was there. He grabbed the ball and did an alley-oop dunk right on top of James. He made him look like a punk. Then James' girlfriend walked by. She stopped right there and looked me square in the eye. She said, why is James crying? Cause he just got dunked on. I ain't even lying. Yeah, he just got dunked on. Yep, yep, he was standing in the way. So I jumped up in the air and I dunked it on his face. Why is James crying? Cause he just got dunked on. He was standing in the way, so I jumped up in the air and I dunked it on his face. For the rest of the game, the lead went back and forth. It was all tied up when I checked the scoreboard. There was only 10 seconds left on the clock. James went in for a layup, but his shot got blocked. Wah! And then I juked out Big Blue with the spin move. I was headed straight for the hoop. I looked at Mike, put my hand up in the air. James was standing in the way, but you know I didn't care. Mike threw a perfect pass, and I jumped so high. I was way up in the sky, dog, it felt like I could fly. I grabbed the ball, and I threw it down hard. Right on top of James, I felt like a superstar. That's how me and Mike won the basketball game. We beat Big Blue and Big Bad James. Cause me and Mike are the number one team. And we heard James cry. Yeah, we heard his mom scream. She said, why is James crying? Cause he just got dunked on. I ain't even lying. Yo, he just got dunked on. Yep, yep, he was standing in the way. So I jumped up in the air